Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Guide us, O Lord, by thy most gracious favor, and afford us continued health by your word and the Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light. In your truth we may find freedom, and by your will we may discover peace. All this we ask in the person of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those of y'all who have kids know that no one can tell you almost anything about your kids or almost anything new that your kids would do during the course of the day. We know how to behave and what they would most likely do. See, I know for a fact, this is surprising, but I know for a fact how long my kids can sit down before they get fidgety, how long during that fidget I have before they start messing with each other. See, as a priest, we're expected to pray every day and multiple times in the course of the day. I want you to know that as part of my daily prayers, which are for the sick, the distressed, and I throw in occasional wants and needs. But my prayers include asking for the wisdom and the patience to raise my children right. It's something that I'm sure that those of y'all with children know exactly what I'm talking about, especially the part about patience. See, in my life, there's been times that I've been tested to where I thought I couldn't go on. There have been times when I definitely thought I was going to crack and that I was going to catch a case. Now, catch a case is a slang for basically involves going to the police, court, jail time, lawyers, and a whole lot of money that's better spent on other things. Because children will forever push that boundary and test you. And I'm sure some of y'all know that, either by children, if y'all forgotten children, grandchildren, and stuff like that. The topic of my series sermon today is patience. In the past couple of times that I've been here, I've given sermons on forgiveness, love, and today is about patience. Merriam-Webster defines being patient as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, and finally, able or willing to bear. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, my sermons are something that God has put me through in the course of my life, either as a test that he is using to benefit me, or something that will benefit someone else. That's how our lives are. We spread the ministry of the Lord either directly or indirectly. But I want you to know one thing. It will get spread. If not by you or me, by someone else. Maybe by the end of my message to y'all today, you might go, I can relate to that. The Bible tells us that patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. As believers, we should be working to be patient in all areas of our lives. Sometimes, though, this is easier said than done. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans 12:12 that we must rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Now, my favorite scriptural verse comes to me in Psalm 35, which says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That very verse to me is a kickoff as to why we must be patient during the trials and tribulations in life. They are only for a moment in time. That little bit of time, like a spark of electricity or a flicker of flame. The scripture gives us words of encouragement as to why we should be patient. We are told, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Romans 8, 24 through 25. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 tells us from the outset, love is what? Love is patient. After all, you have to have some patience when dating, when looking for love, hopefully in all the right places. And when dealing with all the fumblings that our nerves puts us through on that first date as we try to make it perfect. Learning to be patient is one of life's hardest struggles and one of God's greatest gifts to us. Regardless of where you are in your life, it's always going to be a daily struggle. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with health or financial issues. Being patient isn't always an easy task. 2 Timothy 2:24 tells us that as the Lord's servant, we must be patient. We have to be kind to everyone. We have to be able to teach. And at the same time, we must be willing to be taught. We must patiently endure the evils that assault us on a day-to-day basis. We must be prepared to preach God's word because, in actuality, we are all ministers. It's part of the command that Jesus gave to his disciples back then and to us now. He said to go into the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But baptizing them in our present time, especially as I speak out to y'all, is more of a figurative than a literal thing for those of y'all who are not clergy. We're not all walking around with basins and water. Some might be. But I believe that the baptism is something that y'all are meant to give. It might be you just convincing others to be more receptive of God's love. We also need to preach the gospel to everyone that we meet. We don't have to pull out a platform to step on, standing on a street corner, evangelizing. We just have to let them know that our Father, who is in heaven, only wants the best for all of us. That his love is infinite and his patience is just as vast. God just wants us to have patience in all of our endeavors. He wanted Abraham to have patience. And who was Abraham? Abraham was supposed to be the father of all generations. But there was only one problem. Abraham was older and he needed a child in order to begin those generations. and Sarah couldn't have a baby. Sarah couldn't understand why Abraham was chosen to be such a person when she couldn't have a baby. She thought that it must have been a cruel joke that God had told Abraham that he would have a son. She was old. She was seasoned. Her doctor probably told her to accept the fact that her eggs were old, dried up, and that nothing was going to happen in the baby-making department. Then all of a sudden, boom, Sarah became pregnant when she was already way past the age of childbearing. God knew what plans he had for them and what plans he has for all of us. God's plans have nothing to do with age, eggs, the local weather report, the clothing on your back, the money in your pocket, what kind of car you're driving. And none of that will stop what God has in mind for you. Let me tell you something about God's plans and time according to the Bible. You see, there's two types of time. There's Chronos and Kairos. Chronos is sequential time. When we want to follow Chronos time, we look at clocks. We look at the calendar. That's how we make our plans. It's where we get the word chronological from. Minute followed by minute, hour followed by hour, and so on. And then there's a time that's called Kairos. Kairos is about the right season or the right occasion when something should happen. It can also be called the appointed time. Jesus came into the world at the appointed time, on Kairos time, which some might say he came at precisely the right moment when he was needed. Kairos time is about the long-awaited hope finally coming into existence. It's like watching a season of life transforming into another. It's waiting on God to do what he wants done when he wants it done. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 26:18, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." Let me repeat that. Jesus said, "My time is at hand." That's what Kairos time is. The right time had finally come for Jesus and his disciple to have that Last Supper. Let me say specifically, the Last Supper. This is when things are about to go down. When things are going to happen, that's going to change all of our lives. That's what having faith and patience is all about. Trusting in God with all your heart, your soul, and not leaning on your what? Your own understanding of what he has planned. We have to be prepared to talk to people and be patient as we listen to their response. We have to be prepared to be patient with others, because not everyone is receptive of everything that we have to say or as receptive as quickly as we want them to be. As Christians, patience is something that we have to develop. We're not born with it. We must learn to be calm and reserved in the face of hardship. As Christians, like I said before, we have to practice daily being patient. It's not always easy, and you can trust me there. But with God's word and the Holy Spirit in and through us, we can learn how to be patient. Staying positive and having patience doesn't mean that you're going to be happy all the time. Far from it. It means that even when the road gets rough and winding, and the days are hard and never seem like they are going to end, that light at the end of the tunnel isn't the light of the Lord shining upon us, but a train coming directly at us at full speed. You need to know that there are better days are coming as long as you have patience and faith in God. And keep your eyes on the prize of that everlasting eternal light of love that He has and will continue to provide to you, me, and everybody, because we are His children. Amen? My brothers and sisters, a friend of mine once told me, that we may want things to happen in our lives, but that's not something that we're in control of. We have to learn to wait and to not give up or give in to the pressures that are part of our daily lives. Those pressures that are hitting us on every side and appear to be unrelenting as it continuously attacks us. There is this thing that keeps whispering in our ears called hope. And it tells me in there to keep holding on and to wait for the Lord to do His thing so that we can get all that we're entitled to and definitely all that God has planned for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.